Well, I think I said earlier, we're glad you're here today. Glad you're with us on this Mother's Day. And we are going to be looking at some things we started last time. God's love for us. And that the beginning slide here says, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. You've heard that, haven't you? From the Psalms. That one has the citation there is, next slide, would you? Psalm 136, verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. And that psalm says, Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What's the rest of it? His love endures forever. That's mentioned all through the Psalms. It's mentioned all through the Bible. I think I counted it one time. I think it's about 43 times that phrase is in the Bible. His love endures forever. Now, why would we need to hear that? Well, our love runs cold sometimes, but His never does. Our love gives up sometimes, but He never gives up. His love is eternal. It has no end. Even in heaven, once we're there with Him and resurrected and made new like Christ and all of that, He'll still love us. He loves people whether they love Him or not. He loves people who accept Christ and those who don't accept Christ. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, right? Does He love the world? He loves people. He's passionate about people, and He loves all people, although most or many will not accept Him. So, with this thought, His love endures forever, we're going to look at the next slide, which talks about another thing that this is what Jesus said. When He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Some of the law experts in the New Testament, they were experts in the laws of God. And they tried to stump Jesus one time, and they said, what's the greatest command? Now, they thought they'd get an argument going, because he'd say one thing, then they'd say another, back and forth. And they tried to get an argument going, but what did he say? He said this. He said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and I think in another account says all your strength. Love God. On purpose. How much time do you spend on purpose loving God? Talking to Him. Listening to Him. You know, if you love somebody, you'll listen to what they have to say. If you love somebody, you'll talk to them and you'll have interaction. It's got to be a priority. It's got to be... In fact, Jesus said that, right? I didn't make that up, did I? What did He say? When they ask Him, what is the best thing we can do? What is the greatest command of the law? How can we get it all in one command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And a second like it is love your neighbors yourself. If you want number one, number two, there you go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus said that. He said that. These were the people questioning Him were people who were caught up in the law, in the law keeping. And He said, well, here's one. Start with this one. And later He said, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Everything written in the Old Testament comes out to this. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. It comes down to that. If you want to please God, do that, He said. Does God want you to love Him? Well, is God anemic and weak and needs a lot of love? No, He's got plenty of love, but He wants you to love Him because you're missing something if you don't. You're missing out if you don't. He wants you to love Him because, oh, that's the best life there is. He wants you to love Him because then He can open up some things to you that you don't have unless you love God. And we'll talk about that for a little bit. There are some things that unless you love God, you just won't be a part of. You just won't enjoy. Do you know any Christians that are sleepwalking through their Christianity? And everything to them is dull and boring. And do I have to go to church? No, you don't have to. Do you want to? That's the issue. If you love God, you want to be where His people are, don't you? People say, I hear it all the time. People say, well, I'm a good Christian. I just don't believe you have to go to church. So let me see. He said, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbors yourself. This is the body of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. These are the people of God. And you don't have enough love for them to show up. You don't have enough love for the people of God. You say you love God, but you don't love His people. That doesn't fit, does it? I mean, you don't love people on this earth and say, I love them, but I hate their kids, you know, and Don't say that to them. They won't like that, will they? So what's the primary objective? Loving God and making it a priority. Make it a priority. The next one has on here, I put this up here to help us a little bit, the key benefits of making love for God a priority. We're going to talk about that for a little bit. What are the key benefits if you say, well, I want to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength, so what can I expect to happen? Well, here are some scriptures we'll look at. I'll have to go through them quickly, but the next one is Romans 8:28, or the first one rather, Romans 8:28. You can write these down as we go and go back later. It would be really helpful to your spiritual life if you look at these later, because I can't say enough right here in a short amount of time to cover all the bases, but you can go and read these and study these, and boy, you'll have some things jump out at you and you'll say, I never saw that. Is God's Word alive? Is it only alive when we're in church? Is it only alive when we're in church? No. So you can pick up Romans 8 and read it, the section I'm going to read, and you can read it and it'll still feed you. It'll still feed you. What does this say? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Now, Romans 8, I've been teaching that on Sunday. I teach a Bible class in here on Sunday morning. We've been in Romans 8, what is it, 15 years now? Something like that. It's so rich. And I get started and something else pops up. And I get started and something else pops up. So Romans 8's a good read, isn't it? It's a primary directive from God to us, our situation. And so in Romans 8:28, he has said, I think that's the New American Standard, but I'm reading NIV. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. People say everything's going to work out for the best. Oh, everything's going to work out for the best. It'll be all right. Everything's going to. But this has got a qualifier on it. It doesn't say for everybody. For the people that go out there and hate and kill and everything's going to work out good for them, I doubt it. One of the benefits of loving God is, he said, if you love me, you open up a territory here that you've not understood before. You open up a territory that says, He's going to help me. He's going to help me with my problems in my life and my life issues. He's going to make sure, because I love Him, He's going to make sure everything goes well with me. It doesn't mean you won't have some challenges. We all do, but it means everything will work out for good. I heard a man say one time, a preacher, he had said, I had been a lot of deathbeds in my ministry, and he said, I never heard a believer, I'm talking about a true believer on Christ, I never heard one on his deathbed or heard deathbed say, I wish I hadn't been a Christian. I would have wasted my time. No, they say, they don't say things like, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. They don't ever say that, do they? I wish I'd have spent more time drinking and taking drugs. No, they don't say that. When you come to the end, and everything works out for your best, and that last day on earth is you hope it, you die painlessly, in a sense, you slip out and go be with Christ. When you go to be with Christ, you're going to say, I'm so glad I loved God because He loved me so much. I'm just replacing or re-giving love. I'm reinvesting my love for Him because He already invested His love in me. Things will work out for the best. If you love, that's just to this group of people, those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Some people claim they love God, but they don't want to be involved in His purpose. What's His purpose? Kingdom of God. You want to be involved in His purpose too, don't you? You're called to this. People talk about preachers being called. Well, you know, there's a sense in which we are, but we're all called. We're all called to some ministry. We're all called to something. We're all called. He brought you in the kingdom of God for just such a time as this. He brought you in the kingdom of God so you could do things for the kingdom. You say, but I don't know what that is. Well, find out. You can find out. You can. There's this little thing, you've probably heard about it, the four-letter word called prayer, or pray. Pray is four letters, isn't it? Pray, and you'll find out. Ask, seek, knock, read the Bible. Lord, I want to know what You put me here for. Because when you do that, when you find that thing, I can guarantee this, from my experience, when you find that thing, you just feel like, oh, life is making sense now. It makes sense now. So one of the benefits is what? God will work in all your whole life to make sure things fit together. The puzzle all comes together right to the end. Next slide. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. He says, God says, I'm going to blow your mind. That's what it said, right? No mind can conceive what God has planned for you. Oh, He's got some spectacular things for you. He's got some amazing things for you. This old earth and your little body on this old earth can't contain it all. Spectacular things. Your mind can't wrap itself around your destiny and your future. You will be raised from the dead to be just like Christ for all eternity. And you'll be ruling and reigning with Jesus. So that says, what God has for us, the things God has prepared for you, what does He say? Your eye hasn't seen it. Your ear hasn't heard about it, not yet. And your mind hasn't conceived it yet, but God's got it ready for you, and it is yours. And He says, but for those who what? Love God. Love God. You say, well, why does He treat us one way and people don't love Him another way? We'll solve that one here in a minute. But it's basically the idea that if you don't want it, if you don't want it, you won't get it. You just won't get it. It's a sealed book to you. The Bible's a closed book to a lot of people because they're thinking in churchy terms or they're thinking in religious tradition terms that the Bible just doesn't make a lot of sense. I dare say many, many, many Christians out there don't bother reading the Bible that much. They just don't. Why? Take it or leave it. Kind of take it or leave it, right? If you love God, if you love that person, ever heard of people who, especially women who, husband went off to war, World War II, Gulf War, one of these big wars, and she got letters from him. He wrote letters. Now it would be emails, I guess, but back in World War II, it was letters. And I've seen women interviewed on television that had stacks of love letters from their husband from the field. Why didn't she throw them away? She threw away the newspaper yesterday. She threw away old magazines. Why didn't she throw away the love letters? Because they were from him. From him. The Bible is from him, the one who loves you more than any human can love you. And he said, here are some things I want you to know. Here are some things I want you to plan for. I have a future for you, and you ain't heard about it yet. You can't fathom it yet. Your mind can't grasp it yet. But if you love me, it's yours. If you love me, it's yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to turn over there so I can read it out of this one, but it's on the screen there for you. He's talking to this church about their idol worship that they had to give up when they became Christians. Verse 1. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. They're arguing over, can we eat meat sacrificed to these idols or not? And some people arrogantly said, don't you dare eat that, because we came out of that. And some were saying, no, you can eat that. It's just, it's not, the idol is nothing. It's just a piece of meat. Eat it. And then they were arguing. And what does he say? Knowledge puffs up. But what does love do? Oh, it builds you up. Knowledge is great. But if you rely on your knowledge for everything, then you'll become an intellectual that can't tolerate the masses and can't tolerate the ignorant. And you'll be like some of these people at universities that are so smart, they're smarter than everybody else, and they're terror to be around. What does knowledge do? If you think you have more knowledge than anybody else, you kind of feel superior, don't you? Nothing wrong with knowledge, but he said knowledge tends to build you up, or rather to puff you up, bigger than you think of yourself, bigger than you should. But what does love do? Builds you up. Love strengthens. Love never fails, the Bible says. Love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. You think you know something, if you're proud of your knowledge, he said, you got more to learn. You have a lot more to learn. But then here's the statement he makes at the end of that. Whoever loves God is what? Known by God. Make it a priority to love God and you'll know God. You won't just know about. Knowledge knows about God. Theology, books have been written by the thousands, probably hundreds of thousands on theology. A lot of knowledge out there about God, some of it right, some of it wrong. The Bible's full of knowledge about God. You have the knowledge, but he said, no, go another step. Go another step. Whoever loves God is known by God. Did you know God? I'm going to read you some things here out of the Word. Did you know God knows you? Is there anybody that got born yesterday and God said, oh, I didn't plan on that one. Where'd that come from? One died yesterday and he thought, oh, so sorry. I didn't realize that was going to happen. I thought he was healthy. Does God know us? Oh, better than we know ourselves. And he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows us sometimes better than we wish he would, because he knows everything, doesn't he? God knows your name. I'm going to read some scripture here. If you want to write these down, I'll try to go slow enough. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul writing to this church. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are where? In the book of life. God knows your name. And Revelation says you'll get a new name. Be even better. But he knows your name. And he wrote it down. I imagine by now he's got a computer, but you know. This is written, you know, 2,000 years ago when people, you had to write it in terms they could understand, right? Revelation 3, verse 5. To the one who's victorious, will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Do you understand what Jesus just said to the church at Sardis? What did he just say? He just said, I'll acknowledge that name. Whose name? Your name. You're going to get introduced. In the resurrection, you're going to get introduced. What does it say? I will acknowledge that name before my Father. Jesus said, I'll talk to you about you before my Father and all the angels. Come here, angels. I want you to meet William. William here served me faithfully all these years. And he suffered a lot. And he had a lot of problems. And a lot of persecution. But he stuck with me. Come here, William. Put his arm around you. Whoever, whatever you said, certain your name, right? Whoever you are, he's going to call you by name and bring you up to the Father. Father, this is one of mine. This is one of my sheep. This is one of mine that was always with me and always stood and always preached my name. Never gave up. Never gave up. Never quit. All the angels will be standing. The angels must wonder what in the world God is doing with these crazy people on this earth. Angels must be thinking, we didn't get a second chance. Look at them. Right? When the devil led a third of the angels away, according to Revelation, they can't come back. But he gave us a second chance. So this is, he knows us. Revelation 13, verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. That's who the Lamb is, right? Jesus. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, we just read it a while ago, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done. Revelation 20, verse 15, anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Ooh, is it important where you get your name? He knows you by name. And he's going to talk about, he's talking about you right now. Doesn't Romans chapter 8 say that he intercedes for us? The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And then later in that chapter, Christ himself is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. They know who you are. They know who you are, and God's got a destiny for you, and he's got a plan for you. You're not unknown to him. He knows your name. Can you imagine? We honor somebody, we honor our ladies on Mother's Day, you know, and all of that, but can you imagine? A mama raising a child. Child's 3 or 4 years old. And he falls down, skins his knees. Mama comes out and says, oh, what's the matter? I skinned my knees. Well, let's get you to the doctor. Takes him to the doctor. The doctor comes in. What's wrong? What's his name here? Skinned his knees. You don't remember his name? I don't know. I can't keep up with all that. Does God lose you somewhere? Did he lose your name in the? He didn't lose your name anywhere. He knows your name. Revelation 21, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter in that. 21:27, Revelation. Nothing impure will ever enter in the new heavens and new earth. Nor will anyone who does what is sinful or shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written. Your what? Your name. Written in the Lamb's book of life. You're going to go in. You get to the new heavens and new earth. Jude 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 24. Jude verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, he's going to do what? Present you before his presence, glorious presence without fault and with great joy. You will be presented in the resurrection. We'll all be like Christ. It will have these glorious resurrected bodies. And the Lord will say, here they are, Father. It mentions it in 1 Corinthians 15. I don't have it on here, but it mentions the idea of when the end comes, he'll turn the kingdom over to the Father. Here they are, Father, the ones you gave me. I'm bringing them back to you. Reclaimed, restored, resurrected, glorified. Matthew 10:32. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Didn't Jesus say that one time? People say, he said, why do you keep saying, Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I tell you to do? He'll say, depart in that resurrection day, in that judgment day, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. Why? Because they denied him before men. Does he know who you are? Is he going to keep your name in a Lamb's book of life that can never be erased? Yes. So, that slide up there has knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Whoever loves God is what? Known by God. That's one benefit of loving him. There are people that don't love him, even Christians sometimes don't make it a priority to love God, and it's almost like he will, there are whole areas you will never see or experience because it's reserved for those who love him. I mean, it's a heart thing. You don't love him with your head, do you? You learn about him with your head, you love him with your heart. You know the difference in heart and head, don't you? Head evaluates, but heart loves. The heart loves, tenderly loves. I think that's good news that God says, not only are you allowed to love me, I want you to. I want your affection. I want your love. I want your conversations. Talk to me. That's called prayer, isn't it? I want conversation with you. I want to interact with you. I want to be in your life. I want to help you. love for God a priority, making it a priority is an amazing thing. I got to hurry here, but what's the next slide? John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. One version says manifest. Do you want to be closer to God? Are you tired of boring Christianity? Are you tired of matter-of-fact salvation? Are you tired of looking at a boring Bible and going to boring church assemblies? Are you tired of when you get through on Sunday, you go out of here and you almost forget the whole thing till next time we meet? Would you like a live relationship with God? I mean, a living, breathing, exciting relationship with God, where you talk to him and he talks to you, where he gives you energy and strength, and he sheds his love, pours out. The Bible says he pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Do you want to walk in that kind of relationship? I do. I think most of you do, if not all of you. I will show myself to who? The one who loves me. That's John 14:21. He had been asked by his disciples. He said, I've got to go, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, he's talking about the resurrection. He's going to be crucified, then raised from the dead and come back. And I'll come back and I'll show myself to you, disciples, but I will not show myself to the world. And one of them asked, I think it was Philip, one of them said, well, Lord, why are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? And his comment was, Jesus' statement was, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Those who keep my commandments love me. And he's talking about the world. I won't show myself to them because they don't love me. In other words, I'm not going to waste it on them. I'm going to give it to you. So those of you in here that make a priority decision, I'm going to love God. He said, I'll show myself to you. You will be so excited to live and walk with me every day, and you'll hear from me, and I'll answer your prayers, and I'll keep you encouraged, and I'll show you things in the Word of God you never saw before, and you will just be on edge of your seat waiting for the resurrection. The exciting Christianity, what it should be, the way it should be. But it's not that way for many of us because we just don't make a priority of, Lord, I love you. Just talk to him and say, I don't know how to do this, Lord, but I know I love you. You're going to help me, aren't you? You're going to help me love you. You're going to help me love you more. Oh, that transcends all of our theology and church traditions and all kinds of stuff. I'll show myself to them. The next one's got two panels. It's Ephesians 3, one that I quote a lot around here. He would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ dwells in your heart by faith. That you being rooted and established in love, that's the next slide, rooted and established in love, may have power with all the other saints to grasp how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, know it, know it. Don't just hear about it, know it. Know this love. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You got knowledge as a basis, then surpassing that knowledge is love. Now, I've quoted it from the NIV. That's, I think, up there, the New American Standard. But it's the same idea, right? Strengthen me, Lord. I pray that a lot. Strengthen me, Lord, with power through your Spirit, my inner being. So Christ, who is Christ? Anointed one. Anointed one. So Christ dwells in my heart. Where? Not just in my head. I know some things about him, but I want him in here. The dwell lives with me. He lives with me in my innermost being. He lives with me in places I don't even know I have. You ever heard somebody say, I played ball yesterday and I hurt muscles I didn't even know I had? Well, there are places in you that are restricted. There are places in you that just anybody, it's like a married couple, of places in you that just anybody can't go. There's a place in you that only God can go, and there's a place in you that when you open up and love him, he comes into that place. And that's when you feel like, I think it was Augustine, the theologian, said one time, we all have a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. And when you come to Christ, that vacuum gets filled. I can attest to that. It filled me up when I realized who Jesus really was. He's Lord. When I accepted that and when I got born again, it was, you get filled. Now, if you haven't had that, you've just had a church experience. It comes when you say, Father, I want to love you. I love you with all my heart. And I teach me how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Teach me how to do that. Strengthen me with power through your spirit and the inner being so that Christ lives in me. The Messiah lives in me by faith. How does he live in you? By faith. Guess what? You have to believe it. Do you believe he will live inside you by faith? Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, he can't come in. If you believe it, that's called faith. So if you believe it, he's in there. Well, I don't know. I just don't experience anything different. Oh, just hang on. We are in a microwave society. God, if you don't fix my problems in 20 seconds, you don't love me. When he says, keep my commandments, he's not saying like some person, you know, some of your relatives, I know you don't have relatives like this probably, but some relatives want to borrow $1,000 and you say, no, but if you love me, you'd give it to me. That's not what God's saying to us. If you love me, I'd be good to you. No, what he's saying is, just love me. He is love. God is love, the Bible says. And you say, I want to love you. He says, come on in. And when you do, and I had some stuff to read here. I'm not going to read it now, but he says many, many times, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Sounds harsh sometimes, but no, what he's saying is, you know, if you love somebody, you love what they love, don't you? If you love somebody, you care. Husbands, if you love your wife, you take out the garbage, not because she nags you to do it, because you want to, right? I mean, if you love somebody, you'll do what they want you to do in the confines of the relationship, right? So he says, if you love me, you're going to see a strange thing happen. When you love me, you will see it's easy for you to follow my commandments because John says that, 1 John, his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not hard. Jesus said, come unto me, those of you who are heavily laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, for it's much harder. Is that what he said? No, take my yoke, it's easy. Why? Because you're doing it out of love. You're operating out of love, and you sense, oh, that's the greatest thing, you sense his love for you in the process. Are you ready to make loving God a priority? We're going to do the last slide, then we're going to pray. We pray over this notebook every time we meet, and out of the love of God, we pray for these people, page after page after page of names, prayer requests, names. We're not praying for the sick when we pray for this book. We're praying for the spiritually sick. We're praying for those who don't know Christ, for God to open doors, for God to take away the blindness that a lot of people have. Praying for them, and I hope you're praying. You're praying all during the week, aren't you? You don't have one of these at your house, but you see me hold it up every time we're here, so you just spend your prayer time thinking, oh, by the way, Lord, about that book, you know, we have all those names. Many of these, most of these, don't know Christ. Some of them did, and they fell away. We want them all back, don't we? We're going to be greedy. We want them all. We want God. God wants everybody. Doesn't the Bible say that? He's not willing anybody should perish. He wants them all. His love is so big, he can encompass all of them and love them if they would just agree. They still have choice. They always have a choice. All these folks in this book, we're going to pray for. Father, we do pray right now. And I ask you that you'll stir even those in the audience or listening to pray right now for people they know that don't understand the gospel, have not obeyed it, have not heard it. We pray, Father, you work in their lives in such a way that they come to you, that they open up to you, that they open their hearts to you, that they open their minds to you. We ask you to do that because we want to see them in heaven with us. We want to have them all in the resurrection and get bodies just like Christ's body. We want them all to be with us. We ask you for each of these names and each of these individuals that you'll bless them, Father, with new experiences, with people coming through their lives that know Christ and can explain and can help them. Some people coming in their lives, Father, that love them and love you too, and that want to share that love with them. Thank you, Father. We're excited about what you're doing just because we're praying. You said we should devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray, Paul said, for us too, that God may open a door for the message. We pray for open doors everywhere in people's hearts, that as you touch their hearts, they'll come to Christ. We may not know all of the ones that do. We just do this in faith. We pray in faith. We know you're working. We know you're working, and we thank you for the answers that you're giving us, and we're looking forward to those answers right now. In Christ's name, amen.